Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, you know the way when you go on your holidays, it might be lovely and everything you'd hope for, but you can't sleep. And it's not just you. It's called the first night effect. Fiona Brennan from thepositivehabit.com is here to tell us what's going on. Afternoon, Fiona.
Hi, you, Sean. How are you?
They have done studies on this kind of thing.
They have indeed. It is definitely a real thing. And I think many of us can relate. And essentially, there's three things going on, really, that cause most people, many people, to have lighter sleep, increased wakenings and reduced sleep efficiency in their first night anywhere. And it could be, you know, it could be a holiday. It could be staying in someone's house, you know, like you're a family member, a cousin, a friend, whoever it might be. It could also be, you know, a lot of people will find this with work related travel. So they might be in, you know, traveling a lot for work, but still find that when they arrive into the hotel, maybe they've got a pitch, a presentation, a meeting the next day, and the very thing they need is a good night's sleep, and they find it very difficult. So essentially, there's three things going on that cause this, and there's three things that we can do to help it. So will I talk us through those?
Yeah, the three things that are causing it.
Okay, so first of all, it's if you look at the brain, it is essentially one of its prime activities is a threat detection system. Okay, so when you go in to a first night into a new environment, there's one hemisphere of the brain that remains more alert because essentially it thinks that there could be a threat. This is new environment, and that primitive part of the brain is on a very heightened sort of vigilant state, and it's an evolutionary, you know. We've evolved like this to protect ourselves. If you think about it, going back around the fire, you know, somebody had to be aware in a new place as we hunted and gathered around the globe.
Really? Is that, I mean, even if it's like, you know, you're in your oldest friend in the world's house and you can't sleep, that's because you think, well, they might come up and stab me later on. Or is
not
it it's not as literal as that?
No, it's not quite as literal as that. Unless your friend is one you don't want to stay with. No, essentially, it's so subconscious, you know. It's just that the brain will it's an automatic default reaction rather than a response, if you like. So we kind of need to intervene with this, and that's true for many cases in terms of how the brain operates. It is a threat detection system. It is also, the second thing is that it's a prediction machine. So essentially, when something has happened before, it is likely that the brain will start to predict that's going to happen again. So if we've had a bad night's sleep, you know, in a hotel that was maybe it was noisy or whatever it might be, the brain will then predict, okay, this is going to happen again. So it starts to get into what is known as somniphobia, which is a dread of going to bed. So it's starting to already have this negative sort of, you know, idea that it's not going to be a good night's sleep. Oh, I never sleep. You know, if you hear yourself saying, I never sleep the first night anywhere, then you're kind of unfortunately setting yourself up for that very thing that you don't want. It's like a nocebo, if you like. It's the opposite of a positive affirmation. Mm. And then the third thing is that you're going to be more emotionally aroused generally, whether it's a holiday or it's work or anything that is a change of scene. If your first day on holiday, you're probably excited, you've been looking forward to this. So you're going to have a lot more, you know, elevated cortisol going through your system. And then if it's a work related thing, there's always, you know, often some kind of nerves associated with that. So those are the three things that tend to be going on. And often we're not really aware of them. So I think this is a great conversation to be having, because when you're aware of them, you can actually start to do something about it. And I'm a testament to this in terms of personally, like I have trained myself to be able to sleep anywhere. I slept on a plane recently with, like, literally, I'm not joking, two screaming babies behind me, not one, but two. And I programmed myself to sleep through it with earplugs and a mask. But you need to be quite strategic about it and what you're going to do. So I can talk us through things that might help people, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're all ears, are you? You're all ears. Okay. So
no, sorry. I was kind of nodding off there for a second. Sorry. It was working already. You haven't even told me how to do it.
Exactly. Yeah. So essentially, you want to reframe it cognitively. Okay. So you want to start changing that dialogue in terms of what are you saying to yourself? So you engage in more positive self-talk. So you start to say, well, okay, maybe that was in the past. I didn't sleep well, but tonight I'm going to sleep well in this lovely, comfortable, safe environment. You've got to make that mental shift in terms of, it's not a real threat. Your brain is perceiving it as a threat, but it's actually a great thing. You're in a beautiful place or wherever you might be in your friend's house. It's a safe place. So you need to start programming that message into your subconscious through your thoughts. Another thing that's really good and that I do myself is to keep your routine the same. So essentially you're bringing the same like sleep hygiene or whatever kind of protocols you have at home, whether you listen to some calming music, a meditation, one of my hypnotherapies, or reading a book or whatever it is, maybe even like and don't laugh now, but I do have a little teddy bear that I bring with me, and it sounds off the wall, aww, but it actually does work.
What's right? The teddy bear's name?
Lemon Bliss.
That's a fairly pretentious teddy bear you've got there. Lemon Bliss.
Yeah. she's like almost like a pillow as well, and beautiful yellow color. So anyway, Lemon Bliss comes with me everywhere and definitely is a signal of safety. So you want to cue safety to your brain, and that, you know, like a child almost. I know it seems off the wall, but essentially our primitive brain is very much like a child, our subconscious mind. So we want to relate to it in that way. And then essentially the third thing I would say is to practice relaxation techniques, you know, so that you start to breathe deep as you're going to sleep. You can do, again, mindfulness meditation, and all of these things are going to reduce psychological arousal and lower your cortisol levels. And therefore, you're going to be in a much stronger position to have, you know, as solid a night's sleep as you can in a new environment. But it is definitely a real thing that affects so many people.
Yeah. Has it anything to do, because I've experienced this too, and I've often wondered, is it, it doesn't feel right because I'm not pointing in the right direction.
The feng shui sort of idea that you're not, it can be that as well. I mean, people will tend to like, you know, naturally go to the side of the bed they go to at home. Mm. So that's something you can do. If you always sleep by the window, then, you know, you're probably doing this already without intentionally doing it, but it's a good thing to intentionally do, is kind of make sure that you feel comfortable in that spot, that it's as close to your home environment as possible. But yeah, there is a component of that. Yeah, absolutely. But you need to just kind of take that as it's, you know, and run with it, if you like, or sleep with it, as I should say.
Yeah. Okay. And so, but it's mostly trying to calm yourself down into saying there's no threat here. You're safe.
Yeah, exactly. Safety, when it comes to sleep, whether it's a new environment or your own bed, it's all to do with feeling safe. Because essentially, if you don't feel safe, you're not going to go to sleep. And, you know, the way that the brain, as I said, works, it's when a thought that is stressful goes through the brain, that is seen as a genuine threat. It can't tell the difference whether it's imaginary, perceived, or genuine. So if there's a genuine threat, of course, you want to react. But most of it, 99% of our thoughts are perceived threats that cause the cortisol to rise. And once your cortisol has risen, that's when your sleep is disrupted. So it's all about getting the cortisol as flat and as calm as possible. And then it naturally rises in the morning. And that's when you want it to start to come. You actually invite it in then because you want to be fully alert and awake.
Yeah. Now, things like outside noise or noise in the street or even the smell of a room, can they affect your sleep?
They can. And again, it's back to if you choose them to. Do you know? I mean, I remember staying in an Airbnb once in Crete, and no word of a lie, the bar across the street said Rathino's loudest bar. That was like, it was actually, it was kind of like advertising this as a positive. And our bedroom was literally opposite it. And I was there and we booked in for a month. So you can imagine, I was like, oh God, oh God. But earplugs again, and the mindset, I just like really worked on that and said, look, I'm going to hear, there's going to be noise throughout the night, but I'm still going to sleep well. And I did sleep well. So there's a sense of kind of working with it, realizing that it's not a threat. You know, those people drunk across the road are just having fun, and you kind of work with what you have. And that is very empowering when you can do that, because often we're not in control of external circumstances, but it's how do you internally make the most of the situation.
And people, excuse me, who go away and sleep like a baby on their first night, are they too stupid to perceive the threats that are all around them?
No, they're probably just really, they've probably read my book.
Oh, nice pivot, Fiona. Well done.
Thank you. Yeah. No, I would say that, to be honest, they probably just have really good, calm, regulated nervous systems that they, it's not a coincidence. You know, they just happen to be very good sleepers and they're not maybe very worried, you know, they're not the type of people who get worried or stressed easily. So our sleep says a lot about us, you know, and it kind of, when someone is struggling to sleep the first night somewhere, it's generally as well because they might not be the best sleepers generally, and then it's just kind of heightened, if you like, you know, so it's going to magnify whatever is there essentially.
Somebody's texted in to say, I find I have this when we have guests over. I'm super conscious of every noise they make, as if these people I've known my entire life are going to try and kill me in my sleep.
Wow, that's interesting.
Isn't
yeah,
it
is. Again, it could be, and again, subconscious, you know, kind of a little bit territorial or kind of worried, you know, about disrupting the rhythm, the routine. I mean, I think we can all relate to that as well, because when we have guests, we often feel like we need to be more on, if you like. We need to, you know, get the breakfast ready for the morning, or we want to look after them, or, you know, there's that sense of maybe being a little bit out of our own comfort zones.
Yeah. Somebody else says, my Fitbit tells me I have too much light sleep, not enough deep sleep continuity. I've tried cutting caffeine, sugar, etc. I get into bed, read and chill out, but cannot get my sleep right. I do have a very stressful work environment and often have vivid dreams of work.
Yeah. Well, the first thing I would say is, to be honest, I don't wear any of that sleep technology because what we know now is it's only about 60% accurate. And unfortunately, what it can do is it cause the opposite. Instead of actually improving our sleep, it can cause the very thing that we don't want, which is that sleep anxiety. So it's telling you this, that you got, you know, you're not getting enough deep sleep. And what is that going to do? But, you know, of course, it's going to induce anxiety and concern over it. So I think that the best measure we have of our sleep is ourselves. And essentially, you know, the vivid dreams are actually, you know, as hard as it can be, they're a very good sign, because what's happening is it's nature's free therapy. When you're dreaming a lot, it's really trying to process things for you. So if your workplace is stressful, it's trying to manage that. It's like it's helping you to regulate your emotions. So, you know, it can be tiring, but it is important to welcome it as well, because it's nature doing its job. But I would just ignore the Fitbit. You know, it can be really good for exercise and other things that are more measurable, if you like. But when it comes to sleep, I think we are the best judge of that in terms of how we feel. You know when you've had a good night's sleep, and you know when you haven't. You don't really need to have the exact data on it, you know.
You're your own best judge in that respect. Fiona, thanks a million for talking to us today. That's Fiona Brennan there, a sleep expert with thepositivehabit.com.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.